50 years ago today, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Federal Fair Housing Act. Its goal, as Johnson described it at the time, was a simple one.
The first effective federal law against discrimination in the sale and the rental of housing in the United States of America.
That's LBJ making remarks on signing day, April 11th, 1968 there. It was a long-awaited win for civil rights that finally came to be, just a week after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
And now, at long last, this afternoon, its day has come.
Well, 50 years later, it turns out that law has not reduced discrimination as much as its crafters had hoped. A 2018 investigation by Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting shows that today, 50 years later, African Americans and Latinos continue to be denied conventional mortgage loans at a much higher rate than white Americans. And the homeowner gap between blacks and whites is greater now than it was in the Jim Crow era in the South. So 50 years after the birth of a law that was meant to end discrimination in lending, how far have we really gone? And how far have we gone in the wrong direction? Aaron Glantz is a reporter for Reveal. He's here to explain the investigation and what we can understand about the Fair Housing Act today. Aaron, thanks for being here.
It's good to be with you.
Well, Aaron, let's start with the bottom line. We'll get into the details. Has the Fair Housing Act failed in its mission?
Well, as you mentioned in the open, the home ownership gap between blacks and whites is greater now than it was during the Jim Crow era. And the average white family in America is worth 15 times as much as the average black one. And that is largely due to the fact that African Americans are being locked out of home ownership, because in America, the home is such an important part of your family's wealth. So we looked at how the banks were behaving. You know, was this just because people of color don't make as much money as white people? And we combed through 31 million mortgage records, including every conventional loan application in America in 2015 and 2016. And we found that there were 61 cities across America, including Atlanta, Detroit, St. Louis, Washington, D.C., big cities, small cities, all across this country, where people of color were far more likely to be turned down for a loan, even when they made the same amount of money as white people, even when they were trying to take out the same size loan as white people, and even when they were trying to buy in the same neighborhood.
Now, take us inside some of the specifics of the type of embedded discrimination that you found here.
Well, we focused our reporting in Philadelphia, where African Americans were 2.7 times more likely to get turned down for a home loan, even after taking into account income and other factors. And in Philadelphia, where the population is pretty evenly split between blacks and whites, both are about 40% of the population and 20% is made up of other groups, whites receive 10 times as many home loans as African Americans. And when we went out there and did our field reporting, what we found is that the disparity worked this way. A loan officer is looking for the perfect application. They're looking for the person with a ton of savings, a great job, a perfect credit score, everything lined up. But most of us have had one or two things go wrong in our lives. There was the cell phone bill that we forgot to pay that went to collection. There was the time when we were, skating between a couple of part-time jobs. So many people are now working as independent contractors instead of W-2 employees. We found that for the white borrowers that we interviewed, the loan officers often, tried to make these things work if the borrower was somebody who was good for the loan. Whereas with the African-American borrowers we interviewed, it was almost like the lending officers, they would focus on the thing that was quote-unquote wrong with the application. And so one of the women that we featured in our story, Rochelle Faroul, she was a highly paid contractor in coding in Philadelphia, but she was a contractor. So she got turned down for lack of consistent income, even though she was making good money. Then she went and got a job at the University of Pennsylvania, which is an Ivy League institution, where she had W-2 income, she had savings, everything was all lined up. And then she got turned down again after a single delinquent electric bill showed up on her credit report. And the only way that she was able to buy the house was when her half-white, half-Japanese partner agreed to co-sign the loan. But unlike Rochelle, her partner had no savings and was working part-time at a grocery store, and her most recent paycheck was for $156. And so it just seemed like this kind of old type of discrimination that was supposed to be outlawed 50 years ago today by the Fair Housing Act. You know, we see these kind of activities continuing all across this country.
Well, Aaron, you can't legislate away people's personal biases or prejudices, that's for sure. The whole design of this act was so that the law would overcome them, but it makes you wonder how 50 years could go by with these disparities still so institutionalized and so rampant without essentially anyone noticing, or a long time ago people saying the law's not adequate, we have to ratchet down, we need more monitoring.
Well, actually, there was another law passed, the Community Reinvestment Act. It was passed in 1977, and it gave banks an affirmative obligation to lend in low-income areas and to low-income people, right? So it said it's not enough not to discriminate, because it can be pretty hard to prove discrimination legally. So they said, okay, banks, now you have this affirmative obligation. It's not enough for you to just say, well, we couldn't find anyone. You have to go out and try to find qualified people to lend to from the whole community. And in our investigation, we found that 99% of banks were passing their Community Reinvestment Act inspections with a satisfactory or outstanding grade, despite the pervasive disparities we saw across the country. And we found one way that the banks were getting away with this was by lending a lot to upwardly mobile white borrowers in historically people of color neighborhoods in cities around the country. So even the laws that we pass that are supposed to deal with this kind of legacy of redlining, they seem to sometimes cut the other way.
You're describing a lot of paper pushing to get around the intent of landmark legislation. Is anyone in a position of power, Capitol Hill or in Washington, attending to the type of discrimination that continues that you've uncovered here?
Well, the Trump administration is moving in the opposite direction. But since our investigation came out, there have been five states' attorneys generals who have launched their own probes. And I think increasingly we're going to have to be looking for action at the state and local level in this national political environment.
Some critical reporting here. Aaron Glantz, senior reporter for Reveal. You can find the investigation called Kept Out at revealnews.org. Aaron, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you've been telling us if you've ever witnessed or experienced housing discrimination.
This is Nina from Charleston, South Carolina, where I am an attorney conducting refinance closings, and I've been doing that for the past 12 years. And I've done over 5,000 closings. And I'm going to say 75 to 90% of the time, Black borrowers are charged higher closing costs than their white counterparts. It's almost a given that this is what I will see when I first look at the closing documents for a borrower who is a person of color.
My name is Sonia. I'm calling from St. John, Indiana. I absolutely was discriminated against when applying for my first home that I built, and I'm a physician. I was told by two loan officers my credit score was pretty good, and the third one, who was able to give me a loan with no down payment, told me that the two other loan officers were incorrect, and they lied, basically. And I did not have the credit, which wasn't true. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to apply for a loan with no down payment.